and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available.
The wrath of God is what's deserving to sinners. If you were not in Christ, and God exacted His wrath upon you, could you complain that you got exactly what you deserve? You see, our complaint when you go somewhere and you don't think that they have given you what you deserve, you cry out for justice, don't you? Give me what I deserve, what is right. Give me justice. Well, that might work in an earthly situation, in the earthly realm, as humans among humans. But don't ever cry out for justice to God. Because if God gives you justice, you go to hell. That is what we have earned, beloved. That is the justice of God. We have fallen short of His honor and glory, and we are deserving of hell. And if you ask for justice, you get exactly what you deserve, and the wages of sin is death. Don't ever ask God for justice. We need mercy. We need all the mercy from God. And this is what He gives to us through His Son. Notice that John says that if you sin, and this is Christ, he's writing to the children of God, my little children, technon there, he says, mine, my beloved, the ones that belong to me, the children of God, you and I are in the same body of Jesus Christ. If you sin, remember you have an advocate. Remember you won't be cast out of the kingdom of heaven because of your advocate, who sits at the right hand of the Father, always making intercession for you. He's your righteousness with God. That's why you are not condemned, because we have an advocate. An advocate is one like a lawyer. And Jesus, and this is the courtroom metaphor here, the Father is the judge, Jesus is our advocate, our defense attorney, and then you have the accuser. The accuser can be Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren, but also the law of God accuses us, doesn't it? It teaches us more and more to know our sin. But here is Jesus standing before the Father on our behalf. Now, do not have the idea that of the courtroom scene of what we see today. You know that the guy is guilty, but he has a real clever attorney. And the clever attorney goes in and he pleads the case for his client. And he gets some kind of technicality and he gets him off. And he's truly guilty. We are guilty. Jesus doesn't plead our case. He doesn't plead something that we have done. The pleading of Christ is what He has done on our behalf. That is who we stand in. We're not standing next to Him. We're standing behind Him. We're standing in Him. That's who we are in, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we have this advocate, and we are received by the Father because of the work of the Son. That happens continually. Whenever accusations come against the children of God, it's always Christ who pleads His life, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, His righteous fulfilling of all the demands. It's Christ declaring that before the throne of God, and we are safe and secure in Jesus Christ. And now let me tell you something. John says that Jesus Christ is the righteous one. He is righteous. He is holy. He has fulfilled all the demands of the law of God. He is just. And here is a misunderstanding that we find often in the evangelical world. It's as if Jesus placates the wrath of God by Jesus being love, appearing before the justice seat of God, and pleading then that love is pleading with justice. That's not what you find here at all. Jesus' work of an advocate is justice appealing to love. Jesus is righteous. To be righteous means he fulfills all the righteous demands of the law. He keeps the law of God perfectly. He is the righteous one. He has fulfilled the justice of God by his righteous works. And he stands before the Father who is love. And in love, 1 John 4, sends forth his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is the biblical scene. That the justice in Christ, his being just, appeals to the love of God, fulfilling and satisfying the law of God on our behalf. This is our righteous and our holy advocate. And beloved, because of that, as Paul wrote in Romans 8, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I tell you what, my heart rejoices and sings when I hear that verse. There is no condemnation. Jesus said in John 5, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death into life. Nevermore to come into condemnation. Why? Because Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken that we would never be condemned. That's what the advocate does. And that's what he stands for, ever making intercession for us. Beloved, are you trusting him? Hebrews 7, he always lives to make intercession for the children of God. Are you looking to him? Is your hope in him? When you recognize that you have violated the commandments of God in thought, word, or deed, do you run to Jesus? Is the law quieted because of your advocate who sits in heaven, Jesus Christ? Do you say, oh, I'll strengthen myself next time. I'll make myself better. That doesn't work. You run to the only Savior, Jesus, your advocate in heaven, the one who comes alongside of you. That's who Jesus Christ is. He is our paraclete. You hear the Holy Spirit, don't you? The Holy Spirit as the paraclete. The advocate here is paraclete. Parakaleo. Jesus is the original paraclete. The one who comes along to aid, to help, and to guide his people by his word and spirit. Remember what he said? I will give you another comforter, another helper, another paraclete, parakaleo, one called alongside of. This is who Jesus is, the righteous one, come to redeem his people. Notice verse 2. He's not the high priest who offers a propitious sacrifice for his people. He is the high priest who offers himself as a sacrifice. You see, John, when he speaks here, that he himself is the propitiation. It clearly has in mind here the Old Testament sacrifices. Do you remember the tax collector and the Pharisee in the temple? Do you remember the tax collector came in beating upon his breast and he says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner? The term there, merciful, is the Greek word hilasterion. And it means propitiate. And what he was crying out for is God to make satisfaction for his sins by providing a propitiation, an atoning sacrifice. One who could turn away the wrath of God. This is a propitiation. One who turns away the wrath of God by the sacrifice of himself. And not only that, but then makes us favorable in the sight of God. Our sins are driven away. In favor, we are made acceptable in the sight of God by the righteous imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's a propitiation. It's mentioned four times in the New Testament. Romans 3, Hebrews 2, 1 John chapter 2, and 1 John chapter 4. And that's what it means. It's a sacrifice, a satisfaction of an appeasement. Jesus came and satisfied the demands of the law to appease the wrath of God on our behalf. That's the propitiation that's spoken of here. The Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. They were simply continually repeated. That's why when you would go into the courtyard of the temple, the tabernacle, you would find the dead bodies of the animals bloody and burned all over the place, because they had to continue day after day, year after year. Their work was never complete. That's the significance of Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. His work is complete. It is finished. There's no more sacrifice. There's no more need for a propitiation. I've driven away. I've made acceptable the people of God. And so you have that imagery going on in the Old Covenant. Now, think about this, what you would find with the Ark of the Covenant. In the Ark of the Covenant, we had overlaying the Ark of the Covenant as the mercy seat. And the law of God was in the Ark of the Covenant. And above the Ark was the Shekinah glory, the glory of God. And when the high priest would sprinkle the blood, they would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, which would be a symbol, a sign of propitiation. It didn't take it away. It simply foreshadowed the one that would, and God required that, because through those ceremonial sacrifices, it drove the people to recognize a need of a Savior. That they only typified the Savior's work. Now, it's important that you recognize this. The law of God is below, the glory of God is above, and the mercy seat is in the middle. And the demands of the law of God are satisfied by the propitiation, which is symbolized in the sprinkling of the blood. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away the sin. Jesus alone could take away the sin. But they were taught by types and shadows under the old covenant. When the high priest would come in, he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, and thereby providing for us the satisfaction necessary. And he'd also sprinkle it in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Think about that. We are cleansed in the sight of God, and then we are restored to fellowship with one another, aren't we? It's not only one. When God restores us to fellowship, He also causes us to walk in the light with one another. There is a restoring and a peace and fellowship with the body of Jesus Christ through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is a wondrous significance of the propitiation, the work of Christ on our behalf. Notice how exclusive this is. The propitiation, the only one. No other? One, and His name is Jesus. Now, let me ask you this question. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, the bread and the wine. And this is not the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This is a sign and a symbol of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This points us to the work of Christ on our behalf. And as the propitiation for the saints was only one way by Jesus Christ, so as you, as believers, are you trusting only in what God has provided for you?
God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencerccos.com. There you'll find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.